Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JMO Podcast. I'm your host, Taylor Michaels, and our guest this episode, we've got Joel Nelson from Onyx Fish back on the show. It's great to have Joel back on. We get a little status update on the Onyx Fish app that it is now represented in 10 states across the Midwest. That'll be growing soon. A chance to really talk about the app and how anglers are benefiting from it across the Midwest. Joel's also been doing a little bit of early ice fishing, so it's great to get a little update on that and do a little deep dive into some of the fishing that Joel has been doing. So let's get into it here. We've got Joel Nelson on the JMO Podcast. As we prepare for the upcoming ice fishing season, making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to summitfishingequipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Sealcraft brings innovation and revolution to ice fishing. If you fish early or late ice anywhere, or maybe you fish big reservoirs where ice conditions are constantly changing, basically anywhere that ice can be dangerous, Sealcraft is the solution for safe transport across the ice. For pictures and videos of the brand new Sealcrafts in action, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Those links are in the description of this podcast. What is the update with you since the last time we talked?
Well, it's been a heck of a year so far. Summer, it's just amazing. Like, it feels like it was yesterday, but I look at the calendar and it was like months ago. And here we are ice fishing and had a busy show season, was down at the St. Paul Ice Show. That was a great time. Met with a ton of customers, folks that love Onyx Fish. And we had this pull tab promo down there for them. And it was really cool because I don't think many Minnesotans or anybody from the Midwest gets to play pull tabs for free and then still wins prizes. So there were a lot of happy people because of that. And I've been out ice fishing a little bit. I've been chasing some river walleyes on some decent ice even. So yeah, it's been a good ramp up into ice. I have yet to scratch that panfish itch, but I know that's right around the corner too.
What is the update kind of with your job and what you guys have been up to and the kind of the status update with Onyx Fish?
Yeah, no, thanks for the chance to talk about it. I tell you, it's really gone faster than even I had imagined. We're now up to 10 states, flirting with 11 and 12. We've got South Dakota, North Dakota, so both the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin. You go east, we've got Michigan, and then coming back around, Ohio, Indiana, Iowa, and now Missouri. So most of the Midwest is complete. We've got Nebraska on tap here by the spring, and we're looking at including Montana, of all places, here soon, too. So you guys are kind of hearing some of this first in terms of our plans and where we're headed, but we're excited to be presenting as many states as we are. And I know you and I were just talking offline a little bit. Like, it's so nice to be able to seamlessly go between North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, with just the scroll of a screen rather than having to hop on, you know, four different DNR websites, a weather site, a different site for trails. Like, it's just, as Onyx Fish grows, it's been really nice to see that seamless access to data for angling.
It's so fun to just be watching this so quickly too. Gosh, you guys are just, you're really, really pumping it all out there, man. And yeah, again, we're going to circle back around to the fishing, but I do want to, early in this conversation, talking about maybe some of the common questions or discussions or just some of the topics that have been, you know, popular, you know, that have been coming to you, things that you've been addressing, just, you know, just along those lines, you know, as far as the app, more recently in the growth of it, man, the common questions the hot topics, things that you've had to answer or explain, or just some things that we could dig into and address right here?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's a couple common questions we get. First and foremost is Android. When are you guys going to come out with Android? And we appreciate everybody's patience, man. Like I talked about, it's been a wild ride. And I think everybody has to remember, this hasn't been a paid app until April of this year. So we're not even really 9 months in fully on this deal. And we are, however, committing to having spring as kind of a soft launch for our Android product. So not giving any more details than that. Want to make sure we hit our goals and, you know, get Android in the hands of those folks that have that phone operating system. I'm an Android guy myself, so I've been pushing for this since the very get-go. And, you know, I think showing those people a good experience is just exactly what we did for the iPhone users. Like, we have to test this thing. It's got to be bulletproof. It's got to work every time, and you got to be able to rely on it. So we want to make sure everybody has a great experience. We're going to do that. And spring is kind of the target goal for right now.
You know, one thing I thought about with this is, you know, I just kind of want to bring up some of that stuff and lay it on the table for listeners that are maybe just wondering, you know, or maybe even skeptics. Because there's a few of those, right? You go online, it's like there's been kind of skeptics in, you know, looking at the fast rise of this thing and the growth of this thing. There's always going to be a few skeptics wondering, you know, why we got to pay for some of this information and whatnot, and what benefit they're really going to get out of it. But I'd be kind of curious of what your explanation or what your sales pitch is on, you know, just to anglers, like, you know, from the success stories that you've been getting, to what the biggest benefit is to anglers and maybe some of the individual stories.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. I, you know, every once in a while, somebody will come and say, hey, I tried Onyx Fish and I noticed that the contours for my lake aren't that good. Or it doesn't really have the lakes near me that I want to fish. But I think the key thing to remember is that this isn't just about contours, and we're always going to take the best data available from the DNR, right? If we don't have it, it's because it's a lake that hasn't been surveyed by the DNR. But as far as some of those folks that may have their doubts, all you need to do is start digging in a little bit. And there's a couple ways you can do it. I think first and foremost, just going on a drive with Onyx Fish on your Apple CarPlay, on your dash, if you have that opportunity on your truck or car, or just sitting and doing a little planning session up and down the road near where you're at. Like, I challenge people to go to their home lake and not learn something about the fish population, about the land surrounding the lake and new ways to access that water, about anything from clarity and depth to maybe some of the forage species that are inside that lake. Snowmobile trails and other neat ways to kind of get to the backsides of these areas, as well as some opportunities for some populations of fish that are maybe up and coming. Maybe there was a great year class of crappies that was kind of young and moving through the system in 2023. And what do you think that's going to mean for the system in the upcoming years? I think when anglers really kind of put their thinking caps on and they go beyond just some of the initial takes, they get into the weather. They start looking at barometric pressure forecasts. And the Crappie Chronicle guys were just on, like, talking about that. And it's amazing how much data and information is in this thing. So, like I said, pull it up, play with it, take a drive with it, or on our YouTube channel. We've got our master classes, and I've done it now probably a dozen times. We've taught this master class, and it's a little different topic every month. But the thing that happens every time is we'll have a couple naysayers at the beginning asking a lot of questions, and some of them are a little snippy. But at the same time, by the end of this thing, they're some of our biggest fans, because it was like, hey, I had all these complaints, all these comments, and everything I was shown in this 1 hour period has really bowled me over. So you can go on to our page. It's youtube.com/@onxfish and look at all of our masterclasses if you really want to know what this is about. Or there's a 7-day trial. Like, You don't need to enter a credit card. Just try it out for free. See what happens. See what you think.
Yeah. It's like the speed of this thing has changed the game where I have to be kind of pretty narrowly focused. If I'm going to go through the longhand version of going to, say, the North Dakota Game and Fish website, and they've got good, you know, they've got pretty good function, and I can kind of, you know, I can do some filters and I can, you know, kind of figure out some lake locations, and then I'm looking at stocking reports. But, you know, yeah, you talk about, you know, next thing you know, if I'm using Onyx Fish, I'm looking at, you know, the water clarity and the satellite imagery is like, it's all happening so fast and in real time. And then next thing you know, I'm using it as my weather app. It's everything. And I'm so much quicker and faster. And I came to multiple conclusions in terms of like choosing lakes and ended up having a great time. And it ended up being a successful day of fishing. And it was like, I found that lake like in a different way than I almost thought. Like I when I first got it and was using it, I was kind of assuming what I was going to like about it. You know, I love the ease of use. I love that, you know, it was going to be speedy for me. It was going to totally cut down on my research time and just give me so much more confidence, so much quicker. And, you know, just like it makes it more fun too when it's going fast. But I did kind of have it locked into my head in some ways, like how it was going to be fun and how it was going to help me. And I've gotten to the point now where, yeah, just using it with a complete open mind. And that's what some of the best anglers I've seen. I mean, you're one of them. You're one of the guys I've always looked up to. It's like when new technology comes into the industry, really great anglers don't look at it. Nobody that's good accuses something of being snake oil until they've tried it.
For sure.
Guys that accuse things of being snake oil or not worth it or, you know, just whatever before they've tried it, man, that's a different type of personality that you're leaving a lot on the table. And I feel like I'm seeing right. A little bit of that with this. I'm not trying to like throw shade on anybody, but
no,
man, if there's people that don't want to use it as a user myself, I'm totally fine with that. You know, right. Like, yeah, if somebody says, yeah, no, I can do all that on my own. I'm like, yeah, that's cool, man. That is 100% your deal. I am so much more confident using it. And when people say like, what's my favorite thing about it? I guess that's my answer is that, you know, that's a lake by lake basis. That's a day-to-day basis. I've had, you know, satellite imagery has been a huge one on particular yeah. lakes. You know, like I already said, the boat ramp locations has been a huge one multiple times this open water season. You know, seeing lakes that are stocked that don't have boat ramps or at least don't have like big boat style boat ramps, I know that those are probably going to be super great honey holes for ice fishing because they don't get the open water pressure, right? That just things that I didn't even see coming. But now where you have 10 states, I fish North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota pretty regularly. And if I ever went anywhere else, and you know, talking about Montana, that's a huge one. I mean, I spent a lot of time in Montana. Yeah. Mostly hunting, but all my fishing buddies in Montana are like, whatever we got to do to help them get into Montana, like we're into it. It's like, I don't think if you fish multiple states, I just don't think that you couldn't have this like at the forefront. So that's like my big spiel. I've kind of been holding on to that a little bit, but I don't
yeah.
know. Anything that you can expand on with like with those types of things, like just those individual features that just kind of sneak up on you to be super valuable in certain situations, you know?
Yeah, no, I just going back on some of the things you said regarding, you know, good anglers, we know piles of them. We're lucky to work in the industry and, you know, at times to fish with way above average anglers, folks really dedicated to their craft. The one parallel I've always known is that these are folks that spend time on good water. Like they're always on good water. And a couple ways to get at that, you know, if you're a guide or if you have a big network or you have time and you're constantly checking new bodies of water, that's one way. And that's the way traditionally people have been able to stay ahead of that curve. But, you know, one of the things, as people have mentioned, like these are publicly available data. Back in the day for the In-Depth Outdoors show, I mean, that was kind of my role as I scouted bites digitally, utilizing DNR information and understanding that there's this treasure trove of data out there But also knowing now that, like you said, at the tips of your fingers, this is way more searchable. It crosses state lines. And may I add that it's updated all the time? So, like, we've got 2025 surveys that are going to be dumping into the app here soon so that people are going to stay immediately up to date with new changes in the lakes they fish. Population takes a turn for the better or for the worse. Like, we know that things are dynamic. Aquatic invasives can change things. Bait populations can boom or bust. And always staying on top of the next thing that's coming around involves a lot of elbow grease or a ton of research, and usually a little mix of both. So I'm excited that this is evolving the way that we fish. I love that all that extra information is out there for the people that are intelligent in its use. And to your point about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, like, until you tried this thing, I can understand why there's some hesitance. We haven't had some of this before. Why do we need it now? I think is a common thing that I hear. But I think to your point earlier about, like, just having the confidence to go to the other side of the lake, knowing where the landing is, knowing that it's actually public, understanding that it's maybe got a good dock there to push off of, or even a restroom available, like, all of those things just instill confidence and save time. So if you're trying to hit two lakes or three lakes in a day, or you have a plan B you really want to execute, you're not just bombing down forest roads and hoping and praying that things are the way you either maybe remembered or misremembered them, but that it's actually there and waiting for you. And some of my best days, I really feel, are on water that more people are not on. And so I really take pride in finding these out of the way places that I really get to feel like I have them to myself. I know they're not mine, but you really get to key in on these bites. And it's just so cool having a bite like that to yourself. And you're just like, man, am I the only person that knows about this thing? And odds are that you're not, but it sure is awesome to be able to find your own rather than chasing reports and hoping that last week's or 3 weeks ago information is still in play when you're just doing your own thing and catching fish and enjoying it along the way.
Yeah, I think 100% it's spreading people out, you know, like in a good way, where like more people are learning how to go somewhere with confidence and kind of find their own fish. And, you know, everything you just said, I think, and then when it spreads more people out, like a fishing report online, like in North Dakota, you know, I'm sure the South Dakotans, they say this all the time. You know, when people start catching something somewhere historically, all it takes is like one or two good fishing reports on the internet early on, like this time of year, right? Like early ice for a good bite to emerge. And it kind of just consumes the whole winter for a lot of people. Like they're just all done doing research because they just, you know, the research is cumbersome. It's not fruitful. Maybe they just don't, they're not super good at it. It doesn't give them all the confidence. So when they see a fishing report, pictures of nice fish getting caught, everybody storms there. That's probably going to happen to some extent till the end of time. But this is one of those tools that's going to soften the blow of that. And just more and more people are going to have that little bit more confidence to say, okay, there's a good fishing report over there. That's probably where a bunch of people are going to go. I'm going to do a little bit of research and just try to find somewhere else to go try before I get latched onto that. And if people are trying new things and other things and you spread out, like hopefully over time, and I think this is true and happening to some extent already. And like out here in the pothole country of North Dakota, like, going into this winter, more and more people that are going to use like this tool, you're not going to get to a lake and just see it packed wall to wall with people. It's like, you know, a certain number, whether it's 10% or 20% of those anglers that are using the app are going to pull up to that boat landing and see all those people. And they're going to have the confidence to go to lake, you know, plan B or plan C that's 5 or 10 miles away because they did that research before they got there. They had plan A, they had plan C, they had plan, you know, they had it. They had all of that sort of like built in because that's what this tool can do. I think there's just like, I don't know. I just think that there's just so much of a story there for the experience.
Yeah. And you and I, we've talked before about how, you know, growth as an angler, you know, utilizing new data, new steps, new places, sources of information, like that's just going to make you better over time. And I think fishing new bites is one of the things that's made me better over the years. And I see it in my boys too. It's like the more they do different things, the bigger their bag of tricks becomes, the more diverse their opportunities and ideas for understanding, like when fish are throwing you a curveball, what to try next. Like, I just think it's so central to really not just becoming a better angler, but also enjoying the process too, because it's getting to the point now where I really do enjoy the chase. It's always awesome to drop right on fish and just pound them. Who doesn't love that? But I take more enjoyment these days from kind of the chess match, right? Like figuring it out. And this to me is part of figuring it out. And it doesn't take away the challenge. It adds to the mystique, creates new kind of rabbit holes for me to dive into and kind of run down. And that's been rewarding for me, seeing this come to fruition, knowing that I've always loved using these data, but now I can use it in just a totally different and more diverse way, I think.
But I've just been so cheesing to have the opportunity to talk to you kind of like on the air like this and just tell you that it's been a big impact on me and hopefully as many people, you know, just on the street that are using it. But let's get into some of the fishing. We'll make a hard pivot here.
Let's do it.
And you said you've been doing a little bit of early ice walleyes. You know what? I think that if my memory serves me, you're one of the most reoccurring guests on this show, and I'm pretty sure that anytime we've talked ice fishing, we probably pretty much give the panfish all the love we can because it's Joel Nelson. So you said walleyes. I wrote that down immediately, like question mark, walleyes, Joel Nelson, early ice.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. You know, I've always loved fishing for walleyes, but at the same, through the ice, but at the same time, you know, I've always been near some great panfish waters, Mississippi River backwaters, not too far from where I'm at. We've got some good southern Minnesota pan fishing too, and challenging those big gills. It's like, I really geeked out on that when not a lot of people were. But like the down the middle stuff, the meat and potatoes, the walleye fishing, like who doesn't enjoy that? This is a little different swing. Like it's backwaters walleyes. And so early ice and backwaters walleyes, let's just say normally most years do not go together because early ice is thin ice. Early ice is often unsafe ice. This year, with the hard freeze that we had, even in areas with current, because here's the deal, like panfish in backwaters, they hate current. They don't want to be in the current. They're going to be in areas where ice freezes up really well, sets up hard and good. Whereas walleyes on the river in the backwaters, they tend to want a little bit of current to position them, position bait. Do the same things they do in open water, just under ice sheets. And so it's a little taboo. And obviously more safety steps probably required for early ice walleyes and backwater scenarios. But, you know, you step off the bank and before you do, you're chiseling because that first step right where the ice meets the shore on a river, probably a little more trepidatious than on a lake. And you have to look upstream and down. You have to scout, make sure like this isn't just one sheet that's barely attached, right? Like this thing's got to be locked up tight to land, both top end and bottom end. And then you got to really chisel and drill your way much more gingerly out because you're trying to find back eddies in areas where there's just a gentle wash and a gentle piece of current, but still achieving the depths that you want to fish in. So we saw fish on live out in the hole, out 25, 30 feet near where we were fishing. It wasn't main channel. It was just off of main channel. And we also had fish underneath us in like 8 to 10 early in the morning. So the key was really lining up. If you looked upstream, lining up left to right of where that current was sweeping and washing. And you line up left to right on a river walleye scenario on some ice and get kind of a depth established and where that current is washing and bait is settling in and hanging out, you'll stay on. Like they'll just keep rushing into that spot to eat bait. And it's weird. It's a different deal. It's not like fishing a lake, but in some respects it is because like, let's say you're on structure on a lake and it's early morning, like fish are going to be coming up to this reef to feed, right? Well, it's just the same deal, but current's the major player here. And so had a great time. We filmed a little show out there for some stuff for you guys to enjoy here coming up probably next year. And yeah, learned a lot more. It's been a while since I've done it. Caught some big fish, caught some eaters. Just reminds you of why the river is such a dynamic and fun place to be on.
What kind of gear were you using?
Ah, good question. Rattle, man. The river is always going to be a little dingier and darker, even though it does clear up a fair amount in the winter. Loud, bright baits, and you'd be amazed in a river scenario, like what you can get away with. Like you can fish eel pout style baits if you want, like disturbing the bottom, just running it rough and running it loud. We were next to a few other anglers, and some of these guys weren't using graphs, and they were just yo-yo ripping baits. And I was like, that'll never work. No, it works. It works just fine. It's just something about when you're in the right position, fish are used to dashing in, grabbing bait, no matter how active it is, and then sliding back to that little current rest. So if you're in the right place, you should be fishing it loud and proud. So we were using buckshot rattle spoons in one of the bigger sizes, like 3/8 ounce, and just stirring up bottom, banging away. And we also had fish, just like in a lake environment, follow us up like 10, 12 feet off the bottom to finally eat. And you're like, you don't think that'll happen because the current changes, right, from top to bottom. And you're like, they're just going to hit that current and slide past them a bit. No, man, those fish don't love letting things get by them. So they go up and just attack.
As we prepare for the upcoming ice fishing season, making great gear choices is a big deal when it comes to being efficient and effective each and every time we head out onto the ice. Head to summitfishingequipment.com to check out what they've got. As a pioneer of forward-facing sonar portability, their shuttle design and carbon fiber pole mounting kit make it super easy to switch from boat usage right out onto the ice. Again, head to the website. The link is in the description of this podcast. Use promo code SUMMIT10 at checkout for a discount. Devil's Lake is one of North Dakota's premier outdoor recreational destinations. And to find out more about what the lake and the community of Devil's Lake has to offer, head to devilslakend.com and get all that. We're talking about the lodging and restaurant options and just the lay of the land and everything going on in the community. There's all kinds of stuff all summer long going on in and around the community of Devil's Lake. That link is in the description. Sealcraft brings innovation and revolution to ice fishing. If you fish early or late ice anywhere, or maybe you fish big reservoirs where ice conditions are constantly changing, basically anywhere that ice can be dangerous, Sealcraft is the solution for safe transport across the ice. For pictures and videos of the brand new Sealcrafts in action, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Those links are in the description of this podcast. You know, everything that you just said there is kind of triggering me that, you know, yeah, so much early ice, we're talking about where ice forms. But this year, having, you know, that little bit of unique deal where we've had this super hard freeze, we're kind of seeing like early ice isn't going through a slower progression of like only being on backwaters, protected, no moving water, you know, the whole safe ice progression, and the rivers are the last thing that we ever get on. So it is kind of fun and unique to be thinking about that. Now, I suppose, you know, you kind of made mention using live, that probably helps you find the sweet spot if there is one, but I'm kind of curious about that. Like just sort of describing that in those, you know, even more in depth, like how big of a zone do you feel like you gotta try to be in when you're on, you know, looking at that, you know, maybe that turn in the current and figuring out where it's going to be sweeping? Like how big is the zone there that, you know, how big or how small can that zone sometimes be, I guess, you know, when you are finding it, or how important it is to be on there? Because I feel like that's kind of that's like a great river conversation that we have, you know, like in this spring when we're talking river fishing, like rainy river, like all the open water type of stuff, but through the ice, it's interesting. Maybe this year we might not have a year like this for another 5 years. So this is kind of like a fun conversation.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you hit the nail on the head, because if you're an open water river angler, like this immediately clicks. This all makes sense to you. And I was out with Travis Frank, and Travis has been doing this for years. It's something that I do occasionally. He does it more than I do. I tend to hit backwaters panfish areas, but he sticks to the walleye game. And one thing that we were definitely learning on ice is we were shining up these areas with live. There's fish everywhere on the river. I mean, you know the deal. You've got carp, moon eye, quillback, all kinds of crazy river species. But you learn real quick what a walleye looks like. It hangs near bottom. It darts in, darts out. It'll circle baits. It'll follow baits up. Most of those rough fish don't give you much of a look. They'll kind of swim through as if they were robots, right? Like they're on a path. They're just making their way past your bait. Those aren't the walleyes. The walleyes are going to be kind of setting up on the edge just off of that break. And what we found is that kind of in that 12 to 16 foot of water, there was a little bit of shelf and there was a little bit of a back eddy kind of coming back upstream against that shelf. And so those walleyes were tucked just off the edge, but they would just keep piling up there off the, on the top to feed. And I started off the day and I was just catching smaller ones. And he went ahead of me a little bit and just to the left a touch out towards the slightly deeper water. And he caught nothing but bigs. And the difference was, is he was closer to that edge. And those big fish, man, they just play peekaboo. They just come right over that little lip. They eat and they look to dive right back. But this time they got a bait in their mouth and Travis was setting the hook. So, and you, like I said, you know this game from thinking about the Rainy, from thinking about the Mississippi. It's so amazing how, I mean, we were mere feet from one another. I'm talking 10 feet or less from one another. But the current effect, the depth, the way the fish were reacting, like it pays. That's where live really pays dividends in a situation like that is, like you can see where those fish are herding towards and continually moving over time. And micro movements made the difference. And the guys, I'll be honest, you've seen it happen before. Like we were catching fish. Some of the guys near us were not catching anything or much. And as soon as we left, they knew what the game was. They headed right to our holes because it found the sweet spot, right? Yep. And man, open water, pitching jigs. Isn't it gratifying? Like dancing those baits down into a sweet spot. You just know you're going to get bit. That's what was happening for us on ice.
Yeah, that's definitely like an interesting thing. If I was living in and around that, you know, that Mississippi River, that stretch of the Mississippi where you're seeing, you know, a better early ice period like this year than in many years, or at least a few years, you know, it's like, so maybe you might only get a year like this, maybe once a decade or maybe twice a decade, but it can be, yeah, it can be like, just a super great opportunity. And if it's like your home body of water, open water, but you rarely can do your research or try new spots or kind of stay with the fish throughout the winter just because, you know, tough ice conditions. You get a year like this where we get this hard freeze. If we maintain that, man, if I was a river rat or wanted to become a better one, yeah, man, I'd be like jumping all over an opportunity like that. What would you say? This is also like one of like the hottest topics in the industry is forward sonar through the ice, you know, spooking fish in a river scenario, slightly dingier water, aggressive walleyes. Like, where does that stack up? I mean, were you guys just leaving the live on? Is that what you were fishing underneath? Or, you know, was that playing a factor? Like, where does that stack up? Because, again, a lot of times you're my bluegill guy. You're my spooky bluegill guy. Like, how do we figure them out? And it can, you know, a lot of conversations over the last few years has been, we can find them with forward sonar, but maybe we got to shut it off when it's time to catch them. Like, where does the river walleye deal stack up for that?
Oh, that's a great question. I kind of followed Travis's lead a little bit on this, but at the same time, I've seen it too. You've seen it too. Bluegills and even smaller perch, crappies, you know, you start to lose resolution and the ability to see how they're interacting with the bait because a lot of those fish will come right up nose to it, right? Like half inch away and not eat. Whereas with the walleye, so many times you can still see the whole water column and if they're coming up and they're charging at it, like you just switch your eyes straight to your rod tip and you know what's going to happen. So I view it a little different with walleyes than I do with panfish. With panfish, I still love a flasher down, and I've got that zoom mode on, and I'm like studying micro movements. And, you know, I'll glance to the rod. Obviously, you have to see if you got bit or whatever. Have a finger up on the blank for feel, depending on what kind of presentation you have. But for walleyes in the river, we were using the live because seeing that whole water column was beneficial off to the sides a little bit too. Because some of these fish, especially when we were shallower, like the cone doesn't extend and cover tons of underwater real estate. It does better on live than it does with like regular flasher sonar. But you'd see these walleyes come along bottom and they wouldn't be that interested. And all of a sudden they'd come up, but they'd circle the baits. Like you've seen this. You've seen it in underwater camera. You've seen it even on a flasher. Those fish just dance around that bait and circle. And you got to tease them up sometimes. And live increasingly is giving me more of an ability to see that whole thing play out. And with a walleye, again, I feel like if it's active, like we were fishing active fish, if it's making a rush at that bait, it's going to put it in the back of its skull. You know what I mean? So I wasn't worried about being able to see the micro fine tuned adjustments and details. And you can zoom in on a live unit. That's true. But I love seeing the whole picture when it comes to this scenario.
What's next, or what's coming up the rest of the season? You got anything fun planned as far as fishing trips? You kind of made mention that potentially, you know, Montana might be the next state coming up on the app. I mean, whether we're talking fishing or we're talking the app, what's coming up for this winter that's more notable that might be kind of fun to be thinking about or talking about?
Yeah, we've got a couple cool media trips that we're gonna try to film some cool content for. Just share some neat stuff with people. We also have some plans for some new features in the app, so stay tuned for that. Specifically, we want to help people catch fish, even if it's their home lake, and they feel like, hey, maybe I know the populations already. We constantly want to be getting people new and better ways to, you know, understand the body of water that they're fishing. So I think we've got some features that'll come out in the coming months that'll kind of shed some light on that. Can't share too much more, but that'll be really cool to see. And then on top of that, we're planning on holding a little party potentially out on the ice, and might drop a little Easter egg into the app sometime this winter. And if that Easter egg shows up near you, you should probably stop on by and say hi, because we're looking at having a little get together and using the app as a fun way to kind of make it a treasure hunt. Come find us and hang out.
Oh, that'd be cool. Dude, that'd be really cool. I mean, I guess it's probably not that much different than just like mass sharing a waypoint, right?
Exactly.
Dang, yep. Dude. Yeah, that's hilarious. I suppose like the last feature that anybody will ever learn, because we don't share waypoints, right?
right.
Oh, gosh, that's silly. So, yeah, people are going to be like, this must be a gimmick. Waypoints don't show up in my inbox like this.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
Funny, dude. Right. Yeah, no, perfect. Oh, that sounds super cool, man. I'm glad we're sharing that, man. I'll definitely be definitely paying attention to that. Very cool. Well, dude, Joel, we're really, really good on time. I'm glad that we're just kind of able to get caught up and share some stories about the app. I think it's really helping the industry. I think it's really helping a lot of people. It's just been, it's been a huge addition to my arsenal, and just rewarding days on the water, man. I, like you, it's trying to grow as an angler. You know, and if anybody's like me, that just is constantly looking for what's the easiest, lowest hanging fruit to gain more confidence, you know, and fishing new bodies of water, finding my own fish has always been a huge daunting task. And now it's like my biggest obsession, and it's never really been easier than it is right now with the Onyx Fish app, you know, just finding new opportunities. And I find myself running into different species more often too. You know, I was just talking with some guys from Iowa, and you're a multi-species guy. It's like, how often do you go out, you know, or you hear the story, you guys go out and you're walleye fishing, but you run into some crappies. So now you're crappie fishing.
all the time.
You know, or vice versa. You know, you're going bass fishing, but you run into some walleyes or whatever, and now you're walleye fishing. It's like that happened to me more times this last, like, late summer and fall, with like each and every outing that I went out on, because I was going to new places utilizing the app. And it was different features, like I said, that was kind of drawing me to these different bodies of water. It was, you know, just, you know, the clarity of seeing a lake and seeing the value in it, you know, for different reasons with different things. And I'm getting there and I'm excited and optimistic and I'm fishing new bodies of water. But I've kind of always, especially open water, like if I'm going somewhere in my own boat by myself, or just, you know, if I'm captaining my own boat, it's 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, going to be like a walleye oriented. But I would say 75% of my trips late summer and fall going out, whether it was North Dakota or Minnesota, I ended up spending legitimate time on species that I ran into that weren't walleyes. And I so appreciated that. I absolutely stayed in that moment and just let it happen that way and just enjoyed the heck out of, you know, catching crappies and bluegills, open water, for the first time in a long time. Easily the best bluegill bites that I've really been on, or at least tried to flex on, like in my lifetime. It was just great. And so now I know what the first half of my ice season, you know, just kind of got planned out for me from my fall fishing.
I'll share a quick story. Last winter, we were filming with Nick Linder and Brett McComas and out on a new body of water to me. And we were in some weeds, catching some walleyes. Every once in a while, a pike or a bass would come through. And right at dark, we saw some fish. They're kind of lone fish out and away from the house. And in the back of my mind, I had that survey up in my mind, scrolling through what I had looked through earlier. And we knew there were good crappies in this system. And right at dark, my son and I went out and just checked out those marks, and he dumped like a 14-inch crappie right at the hole. And then we continued for the next 2 hours to just catch big crappie after crappie. To your point, like, I find myself getting distracted by new opportunities and things that, like, I wasn't anticipating, but you're like, hey, I know they're in there. I think I know what those things are. Let's go poke at them and see what we can do.
I can think about, you know, say 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, if I had caught a big bluegill, if I was fishing late summer on a new body of water and I was there to walleye fish because I had done the research for the walleyes, I had looked at the stocking reports, I had looked at the net surveys, I had done all the research expecting to go there and target walleyes. If I had had an incidental catch of a 10-inch bluegill, it would have really started and stopped right there. I would have took pictures. It would have been a great fish catch. You know, a bycatch. Now with Onyx Fish app in my pocket, if I have an incidental catch like that, before I do anything, before I rebait and get back in the water, I'm like, wait a second, are there more? Did I overlook that? Like, you look up and it's like, oh my gosh, there's like an average abundance and an average size of, you know, 8+ inches or whatever. And you look at the net survey and it's like, well, they've netted, you know, 10+ inches in here. And all of a sudden it's like, that's where that sort of, you know, materialized. Whereas before having this information, like I would never have in real time on my cell phone brought up the Game and Fish website. Like if I'm already fishing as much time as it would have taken, like I've never looked at net surveys while out in the boat, like on the State Department website, any of them.
Right.
But I'm like literally on my Onyx app throughout the day fishing in those, like in those multi-species lakes now, because I'm like, oh my gosh, did I find that, but you know, that used to just be an incidental bycatch and you loved it. You took a picture of it. And you almost just considered the whole thing a fluke and you just moved on and you just kept your head down looking for target species. But now just be open-minded all the time. Like, you know, if you're a recreational angler, now if you're a tournament angler, you're going to be looking for one species only all day. But, you know, that's a different conversation. But with all these online tournaments, like how useful, I mean, people are going to be, cashing checks to these ice fishing tournaments, these, you know, these catch photo release online deals, like people are going to be, you know, using the app for that. Like what would be better if your home body of water is not a competitive, you know, ice fishing, like a trophy quality lake of any kind, and you just feel left out by it. Like nobody has to feel left out by any of these super fun, like the Fish Donkey, the e-tournament fishing app, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, this would be huge.
Right. 100%. Yeah. Go find your own bite. Right.
Yeah. Anyways, Joel, any other closers, you know, maybe just kind of, any of the, you know, promoting the socials.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I still am out there alive and kicking and doing a lot of writing, and outside of my Onyx job, I just continue to love fishing industry. I've been doing more hunting lately, and you can always keep up to date on some of my adventures on my own social media sites. So at Joel Nelson Outdoors on Instagram and Facebook. And then also joelnelsonoutdoors.com is where I'm kind of keeping some of the writing stuff up to date. You'll see outdoor news. You'll see In Fisherman. You'll see a couple others. And I don't know. The more adventures I go on, the more I kind of want to write about them, chat about them, do things like this in this podcast, and just, yeah, share with people the things that I've been lucky enough to learn from others.
Right on. All right, Joel, we'll talk to you.
All right, see you, Taylor. Bye.